Well, did you know that dad is irreplaceable? Did you know that? Whether you knew it or not, he is, not only to the family and to society, but to you. The title of our message today is Irreplaceable. Irreplaceable Dad. Your dad determines who you are and what you are. From the biblical viewpoint, the father is the person who sets you on the course of your life, your heritage, your vocation, your inheritance, everything. He is the key player in your life. Do you know how the fathers have the power to found things? Things that will influence people for countless generations. The father of our country, for example, is who? George Washington. This fella prominent here in the picture. When we speak of the founding fathers, we mean the guys who framed the Constitution of our country and envisioned it to be what it would eventually become. We use the expression father to mean founder of. This is rooted in the scriptures. There are many examples of this. Let me just give you one. Look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 20, and help me out when we come to the yellow print. It says, Ada gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who live in tents and raise livestock. How many of you have heard of Jabal before this morning? Not too many, maybe just a couple few out there. Well, how many of you have tented out? Ever? Oh, lots of you. Lots of you. Well, Jabal is the father of all who dwell in tents, not literally, of course, but metaphorically. He was the first tent maker. Wasn't Coleman, wasn't Bear Grylls or somebody like that. It was Jabal. And the same is true for farmers, of those who raise livestock. What a legacy Jabal left behind him, though he lived many thousands of years ago, and his name is largely forgotten today. How many of you like music? Any music? Oh, lots of you. All right. How many of you play a musical instrument? Quite a few of you. Well, Jabal had a brother by the name of Jubal. And if you're not a child of Jabal, you very well may be a child of Jubal. If you're a musician, let me introduce you to your father. Genesis 4:21. It says his brother's name, talking about Jabal's brother, his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all who play the harp and flute. No Jubal, no music. Fathers are influencers. They are founders. You know, our culture doesn't really appreciate this. They have no clue, most people, of how crucial dad's role is in the home and in society. Let me give you a quotation here from some literature that I was reading, and I've quoted this before to you. You might recognize some of the stats here. It says, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services reports that girls without a father in their life are 2.5 times as likely to get pregnant and 53% more likely to commit suicide. Boys without dad around are 63% more likely to run away from home and 37% more likely to abuse drugs. Kids without a dad are twice as likely to drop out of high school, twice as likely to end up in jail, and almost four times as likely to need help for behavioral or emotional problems. Other researchers have discovered that 60% of rapists grew up in fatherless homes, as did 72% of adolescent murderers and 70% of long-term prison inmates. When dad is not around or in a fatherless home, somebody who is a good male role model, look at the gaping hole that he leaves behind. Just think of how much our society would improve if just this one problem were remedied, the absentee dad. Imagine how the crime rate would drop, drug abuse would diminish, teen pregnancies would fall, how test scores would improve, all just because dad shows up. Dad, you are essential to our homes and our society. Your input is priceless. We need you to be the man God has created you to be, the visionary, the provider, the spiritual leader in the home, the mentor, the anchor of the home and the community and the workplace and the church. That's what God designed you to be. That's what He's calling you to be. You know, when I counsel marriages and families that are in trouble, sometimes the problems are so big, I don't know where to begin. Where do I start? Well, my approach is to start, if at all possible, at the top. To start with the leader, the head, the husband, the dad. Because I know if dad gets fired up for God, if he gets his priorities right, it's much easier to get the rest of the family in shape. Now, God bless the moms that have taken up that role. If dad isn't around or isn't willing to do that, I thank God for that. But the way God designed it is for dad to be that leader. You know, if a train is on the wrong track, you don't fix it by adjusting the caboose. You start with the locomotive. Dad, you are the locomotive of your marriage and your family. You're God's point man in your home. If I had to choose one person in the marriage and family, in the household, to be in prayer every day, to be studying the Bible each day, to be serving in ministry, to be keeping the mind pure and the language clean, and having the right financial priorities, and having a great attitude, there'd be no hesitation. I would choose dad because he's the leader. Start with dad. He is designed by God to be the key, most influential member of the train. Your dad. He might not be perfect. In fact, I can guarantee you he's not perfect. But chances are, he's made a big impact in your life. Think of some positive ways that your dad has influenced your life. Can you think, just make a mental list of maybe four or five things that he has done in your life. You say, you know, if it hadn't been for him, I wouldn't have this or I wouldn't have done that, and my life would be significantly impoverished without that influence. If your dad is still living, and if you're going to be talking with him today, make a point to share with him those things on that list, to just to say to him, Dad, if it weren't for your influence in my life, I never would, and then say what it was. And then say, thanks, Dad, thanks. Thanks for doing that. And you know, if your dad is not still living or not in the picture at all and you won't be talking to him today, you can still do that around the dinner table, talk about your dad and the influence he made in your life. I want to introduce to you now a husband and dad that many of you know, a dad for whom it hasn't always been easy. When is it ever, huh? But this man and his wife have together done a great job of raising their four kids. And I wanted to take a few minutes to have Steve Schick talk to you today. Come on up, Steve, and talk with us.
Many years ago, when I was in Bible school, one of our trainers was conveying to us how we would have to work hard to share theological things with foreign cultures. And one of the things we touched on was God as a father. And he explained that other cultures, fathers function differently, but God acts like a heavenly father. And that whole conversation and that part of our training really impacted me, because he said that when you use that term, people are going to right away think of their own earthly father. If he's dysfunctional or if their culture has a certain thing that fathers do that is not like God, that has to be retaught. And I thought to myself, uh-oh, what happens if I don't act like the right kind of father? I mean, God, we learn about God through his names, and one of his names is Father. My dad, good man that he is, taught me a lot about God. And then I had a certain point in my life, had to decide what things he taught me were correct, theological and biblical, and what things weren't. And I had to make an effort to right away start changing my life and decide how I was going to deal with my children as a father. One of the things that I struggled with was teaching my kids about grace, giving them love when they didn't deserve it. You know, not, you know, giving them a pass when it would have been easy to let them suffer and stew in what they had done to themselves. I'm grateful for a great church family and Randy that helped teach and learn and be able to be that father figure to my kids, and for them to think of me, to understand their heavenly father by the way I act. It has not been easy. One of the terms in our house is benevolent dictator. And that is not something you want to attribute to God, but he acts that way too. He does for us, you know, even though we don't think it's good, it is good. The other thing was these flowers, they're orange. These flowers are orange. You know, trying to get the kids to understand things that they see and they don't believe it. And God tries to help us do that too. Those are a couple things that I took to heart in trying to be a godly father to my kids.
For sure. Well, if you know Laura and Kirsten and Natalie and Seth, you know that Steve and Diane have done a good job of parenting those kids. And they've gone through their struggles, as we all do. But he's somebody to look up to, Steve is. As we know, many kids these days grow up with no dad around. Or in some cases, the influence has been very destructive. Some have very painful memories of their father. And as Steve said, there's a lot to unlearn when they think in terms of God as their father. But one of the many awesome things about being a Christ follower is that no matter what kind of father you grew up with, no matter how great or not so great he may have been, you can have and you can know the greatest father in all existence. The word that Jesus used for him was the word Abba. That was the Aramaic word, not a rock band from the 70s. Well, it is that too, but first it was father or dear father or papa or dad. It was the household word that was used. Very often the very first word that a child would speak was Abba. And what the scriptures teach us is that through faith in Jesus Christ, we can know God as Abba in the closest way. Look what we find in Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 5. It says, God sent him, it's talking about Jesus, to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. Help me out. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now, you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. You've got a rich father. And what an inheritance is waiting for you. Paul speaks here of slavery. The slavery that he talks about here is our slavery to sin via God's law. God's law is perfect, but we're imperfect. We violate it constantly. And so that law that's so perfect and so good kind of becomes a slave master to us, because it gives us this impossible standard for us to meet. But Paul here says that Jesus Christ purchased freedom from that slavery. That purchase was made on the cross of Golgotha when Jesus died for our sins. The Son of God died in your place and arose from the dead so that you could be freed from your sins and adopted into God's family as his beloved child and as his heir. Now, I don't know how you could beat that in your wildest imagination. We're going to take some time now to celebrate that, to bring this to a crowning crescendo with our celebration of the Lord's table. I'm going to ask the elders who will be assisting, and Gene is going to come and provide some music for us. for those of you who might not be familiar with this, we have bread and we have juice here, and we're going to be passing it around. And we do that because Jesus told us to do it the night before he died. He gave us this little memorial supper to remember his death because it's so important. The bread represents his body, which is broken for us. The cup represents his blood, which was poured out for us, all for our redemption. And by taking it into ourselves as a body, we're communicating a lot of great truths. One is that we have taken him into us as our sustenance, as our salvation. Another is that together we're a body. We're like one big loaf. You're a bunch of loafers. You're a one big loaf, and together we partake. We're one body. Together, we're communicating these great truths. And so if you have received Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior, you are his follower, he invites you to this table today to remember him in this special way. If you haven't made that commitment, I encourage you to do so. But if you're not ready to do that yet, then just let the elements pass, because you don't want to make a statement about yourself that isn't true. Scripture tells us to examine our hearts and to confess our sins so that we can kind of be washed up for dinner, as it were. So let's take a moment to do that and just confess our sins to him and reaffirm once again faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.